please turn off the mute for your electronic devices, some of the interruptions. And Ms. Whitmore, would you please do a roll call?
Yes. Dr. Byrne?
Here.
Ms. Krieger?
Here.
Ms. Frost?
Here.
Dr. James?
Here.
Mr. Lohe?
Here.
Dr. Nosley?
Here.
Ms. Solomon?
Here.
Dr. Thompson?
Here.
Dr. Wright?
Here.
You have quorum.
Wrong number.
Wrong number, sorry.
Okay, so we'll start off with initial investigative reviews. And number one, that is case 2246. Tracy, would you read us a summary, please?
Yes. Case 2246, the complainant is Pat A. Johnson. The respondent is Carrie Vixen, DBM. On August 14th, 2021, Toby, an approximately 8-year-old male, Deshaun Maltese mix, was presented to respond for a dental cleaning. Blood and urine was collected for testing and revealed the dog was a surgical candidate. The procedure was performed and the dog was discharged later that day. On August 17th through August 20th, 2021, the dog was presented to respondents' premises due to vomiting and not eating. The dog did not improve and blood work revealed elevated liver enzymes. On August 21st, 2021, the dog was presented to a specialist for advanced diagnostics and treatment. After evaluation and an abdominal ultrasound, acute hepatitis was suspected. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded the board dismissed this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 5-0. A second motion was made, and it was moved and seconded the board open investigation with respect to the care and treatment of the dog by respondent's associate, as well as the Banfield organization with respect to their repeated, inaccurate, and inconsistent medical record keeping and hospital practices. The motion was approved with a vote of 5-0.
Okay, so we have counsel giving a statement for the respondent?
Yes.
Care to come forward? Okay, you are forward. Please state your name for the record.
Scott King.
Thank you. And I can give you up to 5 minutes to address the board.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, thank you for the opportunity to address you today. On July 15, 2019 and July 16, 2020, Dr. Vixen performed Toby's dental cleaning under sedation, and he tolerated the procedure well and had no complications postoperatively. On August 14, 2021, Dr. Vixen used the same medication, propofol, midazolam, and butylphenol, at approximately identical dosages to Toby that she had used on the two prior occasions. Toby did not experience an adverse reaction to the sedation medication on July 15, 2019 or July 16, 2020. On August 14, 2021, Toby had normal vital signs before, during, and after the procedure, and there was nothing about his post-sedation presentation on August 14, 2020 to indicate an adverse reaction to the sedation medication. Consequently, Dr. Vixen had no reason to believe the sedation medication had negatively affected him. Dr. Vixen did not treat Toby after August 14, 2021. Instead, other doctors at Banfield cared for Toby on August 15, 17, 18, and August 2021. Also, Dr. Vixen did not see or treat Toby's ear infection on December 23, 2020. We respectfully submit that Dr. Vixen's treatment of Toby met the standard of care and ask the board to dismiss this case. Thank you.
Thank you. We have no complainants. And Dr. Thompson, you are the lead on this one.
Yeah, so this case was a little frustrating to read through. As we read through the complainant's version of it and also the respondents, I'm in agreeance with where there was no violation based on the actual respondent's actions. The questions are that I have to do with the treatment of the pet by other veterinarians in the practice. Based on her treatments, the dental was done in the same protocol that she's used before. There wasn't an issue. When the dog did have issues, she didn't see it. She wasn't informed about the case. She wasn't there, so therefore she can't be held responsible for the actions and the results of what happened afterwards. So I'm in agreement with the recommendation that there's no violation of the Practice Act for Dr. Bixon. I guess I have a question for the board, though, as far as the recommendation to pursue looking into this case further on the other doctors that did perform, lack of performance of diagnostics in this case. Is that something that we generally pursue?
We can open a case. So the first thing to do would make the motion to dismiss this, and then in a second, we could discuss that, vote on it, and then take up the opening new case.
So I make a motion to dismiss this case, no violations. Second.
A motion of four and a second. Any discussion?
So one of the things I think that we saw, because I agree with you, it wasn't with this doctor, but potentially some inconsistencies in what the other doctors were seeing. But she is the medical or the premise holder. So I kind of wonder if another approach, rather than opening cases against them, would be, we don't find any violations with what you did, but as a premise holder, we could issue a letter of concern saying the medical records from your practice are very inconsistent and difficult to determine what's going on, and you're responsible for making sure that your practice is doing that. And then it might prompt them to go back and say, what are you guys doing in your medical records? I don't know, that might just be another approach to it rather than opening more cases and still get the same result.
Right, I hear you on that. I guess my question is, and I understand coming from the premise holder, there was a lot of talk of just the medical records in general. And as a premise holder, she does not have any ability to change the Banfield the Banfield records. Like, there was a lot of mention and concern on the layout of the records, how they're formulated, how confusing they are, and so that's definitely above her level.
Well, and some of the stuff that I was reading was like, they were upset that they take all these well patients and they don't see sick patients. Well, okay, that's not a violation.
No.
There are a lot of wellness practices out there that only see well patients, so I kind of feel like they might have gotten off on a little bit of a tangent, a little bit in discussion, but that's why I kind of was going back to, she is responsible for making sure the doctors are doing complete exams and like the whole thing with mild tartar 3 days after a dental, you might be pencil whipping your exams. Like, I think that she owns that, and maybe that's why I kind of lean towards putting it back on her and putting them on alert that this medical record is not appropriate.
So,
because I don't think it changed the care. I don't think that anything that happened affected this dog's hepatitis.
I think the big question is why weren't there recommendations made sooner in this process? So if you look through it, the dog wasn't feeling well post-dental, having vomiting, chronic issues for how many days it came back and forth, and nowhere in those records was there a recommendation to do any sort of recheck of blood work. I mean, that should have at least
if it's
been
more on the care, then I say open a case. But I was more on the medical records piece.
Yeah, and Tim, go ahead.
I agree. The records are, I like Dr. James' suggestion about the records, but about the care, especially the care regarding when we knew what these liver enzymes were and didn't go directly to hospitalization and IV. So I have some problems with the care specifically, and I think that's on the individual.
Correct.
Doctor.
Yeah. So if we were to look back and say, okay, there's obviously some failings with the medical records, some inconsistencies, is that against on this case, or is there a separate case that you do a letter of concern because she's as the premise holder, not as a practicing, like, is there a difference in
that? I think that? You can do a letter of concern
so.
Here.
Okay, yeah.
And then, because it's non-disciplinary, so I would just do it as part of this and then open a case against for the care with the other veterinarian.
So then I would make a recommendation to give a letter of concern on the medical record keeping for the premise of this Banfield location, and then also to open a case. Well, actually, let's move on that one. Yes, sorry.
So we haven't voted on that, so we can either amend it or redo the letter of concern separately.
How about amending the dismiss with no violation, but send a letter of concern regarding records?
Yes.
And I'm gonna give the couple examples that we have of the medical records, so she knows what we're referring to. Second.
Okay.
All right, motion on the floor, second. Dismiss is to issue a letter of concern on the records. Any further discussion?
Mr. Chairman, because this is a new issue, I know normally I'm not allowed to speak, but this is a separate issue from what was presented to the investigative committee and to this board, at least in my opinion.
But the evidence before us is the medical record. So, I mean, that's the hazard.
The other option is to find a violation.
Well.
Yeah, I mean. Is that you could do with the medical records the way they are?
Yeah, so, I mean, it is not infrequent that there was nothing wrong with the care, and the case is dismissed, medical records always factor in. It's part of the case. It becomes part of the case.
I guess my point is, who's responsible for that? Is it the individual provider or Dr. Dixon? Because I don't know if there's evidence that she is responsible for the medical records by the other providers.
The premise holder is responsible for the overall management of practice, which would include how the records are kept and administering those other.
I mean, I don't think historically, like in a case like this, we'd find the violation of the medical record against the doctor that actually wrote the record. But as a premise holder, we do sometimes say, in general, you're not keeping records or you're not doing this. That becomes a premise issue, not the specific violation in the medical record.
Because
you know what I mean?
Yeah, because it wasn't one.
Right.
It wasn't one of the other veterinarians. Right. It was everybody.
Oh, and just finally, I don't know if it's borne out. As you were talking about, at her level, whether she has the ability to change the format of the medical records, not sure that there's evidence of that present before you today.
I don't think what we're talking about is the format of the medical records. I mean, we've seen Banfield records that are perfectly fine. I think what we're talking about is when you do a dental on a dog and 3 days later somebody notes that there's mild dental tartar, either that can't be. Like that's the medical records were not consistent with what is going on in the dog. That has nothing to do with the format.
Conflicting dates also.
And yeah, some conflicting dates and some information not filled in.
All right, motion on the floor, dismiss issue a letter of concern. Motion before us. Let's do roll call since we're doing the letter of concern.
Dr. Byrne?
Aye.
Ms. Krager?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. James?
Aye.
Mr. Logie?
Aye.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Now we would entertain.
So the next proposal is to open a case against the other veterinarians that worked on this case, Dr. Munhall and Dr. Duthie at the Banfield Hospital, in regards to their care treatment of this pet.
Are you making a motion?
I am. That is my motion.
Second.
Motion for a second to open the case on the other two veterinarians. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That motion passes. Open cases there. That concludes that. Thank you very much for being here today.
Thank you.
Next up we have
2255, Tracy, would you read this summary, please?
Case 2255, the complainant is Carrie Nag, the respondent is Carla Manama, DVM. On August 9th, 2021, Crispin, an 8-year-old male German Shepherd mix, was presented to respondent for an exam. Complainant reported the dog had eaten embroidery string 1 month, 2 weeks prior. It was further reported that the dog had passed some of the string. Radiographs were performed. No obvious evidence of a foreign body was noted by respondent or the radiologist. Respondent recommended follow-up with an ultrasound with referral to an internal medicine specialist. On August 12, 2021, an ultrasound was eventually scheduled to be performed by a local sonographer. The ultrasound showed evidence of renal changes but no confirmation of a foreign body. On August 16, 2021, the dog underwent emergency surgery for a foreign body removal. Later that evening, the dog was transferred to an emergency facility for continued care. The following day, the dog was humanely euthanized. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred. It was moved and seconded. The board dismissed this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 5-0.
Okay, we have no respondent. Mr. Stoll monitoring?
Yes, sir.
And we do have the complainant here. Did you want to address the board?
Yes.
Please come forward. Would you please state your name for the record?
Carrie Nag.
Thank you. I'll give you up to 5 minutes to address the board.
I took Crispin to Dr. Rombana on August 9th, and I told her that he had eaten 16 yards of embroidered floss string on a plastic holder. I said I knew he had eaten this because he pooped out some of the string and I cut it off at his butt. I said I knew that all the rest of it was still inside. Dr. Lombana said that Crispin was in pain. I told her that Crispin was a very important dog to us, but also a comfort dog to one of our other dogs with issues. I told her that I needed her to do whatever it takes to save my dog. She said, okay, good. Then she ordered tests. Tests that did not show plastic and string, and waited for those tests, and waited for the official test results. She did not include the important fact that Crispin had eaten 16 yards of string on the notes for the lady doing the ultrasound. That technician told me that Dr. Lombana walked into the room when she was almost done with the ultrasound and mentioned that Crispin might have eaten some string, but it might have passed. The ultrasound technician forgot to add that to the notes. So the results came back with no mention of string. The ultrasound professional writing the final report said that if she had known about the string, she would have written a very different report. It was Dr. Lombana's responsibility to write the string on the report. She did not do her job. If it's not written down, it never happened. She stalled all week long, Monday through Friday, 5 days when she could have operated and saved Crispin. She knew he was in pain and knew what was in him. I clearly told her and showed her what, and she chose to do useless tests. She chose not to operate and save him. An operation was the only way he could be saved. I've been asked if I asked her about doing an operation. The answer is no. To me, it was a stupid question. It was obvious that's what he needed. When I broke my foot, I never asked them if they were gonna set the bone either. It was obvious. Dr. Lombana chose to not be honest with me and tell me that she never intended to operate. She could have transferred him to someone that would operate on him. In fact, I never talked to her after the day I had Crispin in there. I never had any communication with her after that. Crispin got worse over the weekend. I could not get him into an ER. On Monday, Dr. Adams came back from vacation. She saw Crispin standing there and was appalled at his condition. She checked in the record and couldn't figure out what was wrong with him because Dr. Lombana's notes were pathetic. Her words, by the way. She couldn't figure out why Dr. Lombana had not operated to save him once we told her that the problem was string. Dr. Adams, not Dr. Lombana, operated. She tried to save him but couldn't. Dr. Adams, not Dr. Lombana, called me after I complained. She said that he could have been saved easily all that previous week. The test showed that he was in good shape and would have done well. The string had not sawed through his intestines yet. I asked her if presented with the same situation on August 9th visit, would she have operated? She said yes, the same night. She said he had to have been in horrible pain. Dr. Adams was the cleanup crew for Dr. Lombana's mistakes. She was faced with doing the heart operation after Crispin went bad, and Dr. Lombana wouldn't even do the easy operation. Dr. Lombana has never bothered to talk to me about Crispin directly. She never called me to explain herself. We did send messages back and forth through the office manager. Dr. Lombana supposedly stressed that she did believe me that the string was in Crispin. If that's true, then why didn't she save him? She arrogantly stated that she made the right decision and counted on the reports that did not suggest surgery. She did not accurately report the string issue on the ultrasound request. She should have noticed that the ultrasound report did not mention string. If she'd been doing her job, she would have asked about that. She was basing her decision on an incorrect report that was her fault. She is the one with the education and training to save Crispin. I told her and showed her what was in him. She didn't need specialists to tell her what to do. She should have already known. The office even offered a payout if I didn't report her to you. Even they know she's wrong. So I'm left wondering about the investigative committee's decision. They obviously did not read my statement. String doesn't block the intestines to show on the test until the string saws through the intestines. By then, it's too late. The board seemed fine with Dr. Lombana racking up a large bill with useless tests, but not doing the one thing he needed desperately to save him. This process seems heavily one-sided and doesn't even come close to fair. I was not told that I could bring a lawyer. I was not allowed to see Dr. Lombana's statement, yet she saw mine and could tailor her answers to that. The board's mission statement reads in part, the veterinary board protects the health, safety, and welfare of the general public as well as the welfare of animals. That's certainly not been the priority so far.
Thank you, and that used your 5 minutes. Can you step back? Thank you. We have Dr. Nosley as lead on this case.
Right. Okay. While I respect what the investigative committee discussed and agree with in large portion, there was some things in this case that I don't think have been fully discussed. Initial exam regarding the foreign body, we didn't have surgery till a week later, and I think somewhere along the line that there was another avenue that the respondent could have taken. So I have a lot of questions there. Definitely some differences between a linear foreign body and an obstructive foreign body. I think that needs to be discussed. The differences in the communication between the complainant and the respondent is extreme in this case, and the key component of the string being cut off the anus, I think, was something that needs to be discussed. We have the statements by Dr. Adams. The confusion in the ultrasound, the insurance company paying for the surgery. So I think there are enough questions here for both the complainant and the respondent that I would move this to an informal.
Second.
A motion on the floor and a second to move 2255 to an informal. Is there any other discussion? I guess I added the string is what got me. I mean, if you know it's there, and you know only, I don't think we ever had a measurement of what was cut off and shown to the vet, but you knew it wasn't 16 yards. So the majority of it's still in there. And if it didn't either come up through vomit or out the other end,
right.
It's in there. Right?
On four separate occasions, the complainant mentioned string.
So it
had to be, simply had to be in the dog.
Motion on the floor is to move 2255 to an informal, and we have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? That motion passes. In that case, we'll move to an informal. Next up, we have our three pack. The first one will be 2256. Tracy, would you read us the summary, please?
Yes. Case 2256, the complainant is Timothy R. Wright, MD, and the respondent is Timothy Mahaney, PBMMS. On January 15th, 2021, Maggie, a 13-year-old female area, was presented to Dr. Striley for diagnosis. The dog had a history of heart disease and was also having mobility issues. Blood work revealed elevated liver enzymes, therefore an abdominal ultrasound with liver aspirates was recommended to be performed that day, along with the echocardiogram and full body radiographs, since the dog would already be sedated. The dog's heart issues were stable, and there were no radiographic findings to explain the dog's lameness or rear end weakness. On February 1st, 2021, the dog was presented to Dr. Darthamal due to a decline in mobility. Complainant suspected it was related to the January 15th visit. Dr. Darthamal was concerned for a neurologic pathology. A neurology consult was discussed with complainant, and complainant elected to provide palliative care at that time. On May 28th, 2021, the dog was presented to Dr. Darthamal with an acute onset of left fore limb lameness. Radiographs revealed a fracture to the proximal humerus. And due to the dog's mobility issue, humane euthanasia was suggested. Complainant elected to seek a second opinion with a specialist. Later that day, the dog was presented to vet med, and the fracture was confirmed. The dog's leg was splinted, and complainant was instructed to return at a later date for a surgical consultation. On June 2nd, 2021, the dog was presented to Dr. Mahaney for a surgical consultation. After diagnostics, Dr. Mahaney suspected the fracture was pathologic. Due to the likelihood of multiple neoplastic processes and the dog being paraplegic, humane euthanasia was recommended. Complainant took the dog home and made arrangements for in-home euthanasia. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded. The board dismissed this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 5-0.
Here we have no respondent. Mr. Stoll monitoring?
Yes, sir.
And Dr. Wright?
Yes, sir.
Would you care to address the board?
Yes. Point of order. I'm involved with the next two cases, too. I have comments. Do you want me to speak about all three at this time or come back for these two?
I think come back for those two, because that was kind of a separate, okay. And they were filed separately, too, right?
Correct.
And that's the way I saw it. You're the lead.
Yeah, we'll take them individually.
Our decisions and voting would be and discussion would be individually.
Understood. Yeah. I just wanted to be sure if this was my only opportunity to speak that I said everything at once.
No. You're on the list for all.
Excellent. I appreciate your time. I appreciate the opportunity to be heard.
First, please state your name for the record.
My name is Timothy Wright.
Thank you. And you have up to 5 minutes this case.
Okay. I appreciate the opportunity to be heard. I'll be brief because I know you've seen my presentation. I know you've seen my complaint. I know you've seen my documentation. With respect to Dr. Mahaney, it seems the focus of the investigative committee was directed at whether or not his refusal to do surgery and his recommendation for euthanasia was medically appropriate or not. While I disagree with his refusal to operate on her fracture, as well as his recommendation for euthanasia at that time, that disagreement was not the focus of my complaint. My complaint of Dr. Mangini was that he stated he would not release Maggie to me unless I made, and these are his words, concrete plans to euthanize her very shortly after taking her home. I felt bullied and intimidated by this ultimatum. I felt like Maggie was being held hostage. I do not feel that this is professional behavior. I do not feel this is ethical behavior. As the body that regulates the practice and behavior of your licensees, I felt you should be made aware of his actions and behavior and take appropriate action to be sure that he is held accountable for this so that no other person has to endure what I felt to be coercive and inappropriate actions on his part. Thank you.
Thank you. You may step back. And Dr. James, you are the lead.
Yeah, so I definitely saw that in the presentation as far as the concern with feeling like they were coerced into doing euthanasia. However, you know, from looking at the doctor's response, I mean, I definitely feel like he felt like that was what this dog needed, and based on the medical conditions and everything going on, I think he had the right to believe that. I don't necessarily know that that was his call, and I think that the owner could have gone somewhere else and gotten a second opinion and to see if somebody else would want to do the surgery, but I don't think this doctor should have had to do the surgery. He didn't think it was medically appropriate, and so really this one comes down to, I think there was a lot of communication issues, and maybe it wasn't said the best way, and maybe, you know, there was a nicer way of saying, look, there's really not much more that can be done at this point for your dog, and humane euthanasia is really what needs to happen. But there were some inconsistencies in how that was actually said, and because we went there, I didn't have a problem with what Dr. McGinney was saying. It was probably more in the way he said it, and we just won't know that. So in the case of 2256, I would support the investigative committee's findings of no violations. And I'll make that as a motion.
Second. A motion on the floor and a second to dismiss 2256. Any further discussion? I guess I would weigh in on the it's classic he said, she said. And sure, it's easier if both parties show up and we get to look them in the eye and we get to hear, then we get to, it's still he said, she said, but at least we, you know, hear their voice, look them in the eye and get some kind of gut feel ourselves. I don't know. I don't disagree with dismissing.
I do feel like this goes back to communication.
It goes back to communication, and if there was good, solid communication, would we even have the complaint?
Probably not, but is it really a violation?
Man, we run into this on so many cases, and I feel for owners that are in the situation where they feel like things weren't either described to them in the right way, or they felt pressured into something. I mean, ultimately, as an owner, you have the option of going and getting another opinion, but I just feel like I can't say what happened. I can't say how things were said or the tone of which things were said.
And we can't. So, and even if the other party was here, we got to listen to both of them, it's still a judgment call, right? I mean, it is still a he said, she said, because we weren't there. We don't know.
I mean, ultimately, you have an owner who cares deeply about their pet, so I respect, you know, that he was trying to do everything possible. But yeah, there was maybe a couple of things that vet could have omitted. You know, getting it isn't this one where he said, get a puppy next time. Yeah.
Well, and as a member of this board who is the most frequently says something like that, right? That's recorded. I can appreciate that. You're not always understood, right? I mean, I tell some really stupid jokes. I think it's funny. That doesn't mean anybody else does, right?
Well, it sounds like.
And his reasoning for telling that the doctor gave for saying that made perfect sense.
I know.
Right? He didn't tell him that.
Right.
He just said the one sentence, to try a puppy next time. He didn't tell him about the joy and longevity, and you don't have to constantly care and medicate him and whatever, that he was thinking more therapeutic, not anything else, right?
Yeah, I realized it wasn't.
But all the doctor got was the one sentence. That's it. We got the, here's what I was thinking when I said that. I didn't know he took offense.
Right.
So.
And that's what I mean by it was definitely communication. I think there were things that were said on both sides that could have been said better, right? Mm-hmm. But when somebody's pet is in this state,
hearing that they should have gotten a puppy or they could have had other options is probably not the best thing to say, right? I mean, let's just be honest. But it's not a violation of the Practice Act.
Right.
It's just not. So I go back to, could it have been said better? Could there have been things that, you know, me personally, I don't ever want another puppy in my life.
I know, right?
I want an adult dog for the reasons of I love taking care of adult dogs. And I have a gnat flying over my head, sorry. But I just feel like in this case, like I can't go as far as to say that was a violation.
Yeah. Agree.
Yeah. And I didn't bring it up to say there should be a violation, but what about a letter of concern on communication? Sorry, that was a long roundabout way to get there. I should have just said that.
I agree. If we could have seen the respondent, that would have been very helpful. I think there was some frustration there on his part that came through. Nope, we don't know. We weren't there. We weren't in the room. So, letter of concerns possibility.
All right, so we could add that later. It's not on the floor right now. Motion on the floor right now is to dismiss 2256. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That motion passes. The chair would entertain another motion if somebody would be willing.
I don't have another motion.
Okay. All right. And we'll move on to 2281 and 2282, and the summary is the same for both of those, isn't it, Tracy?
Yes, the summary is the same for both. 2281, the complainant is Timothy R. Wright, MD, and the respondent is Melinda Striley, DVM. The summary is the same. In that case, 2282, the complainant is Dr. Timothy R. Wright, and the respondent is Jess Darmall, DVM. And the committee had recommended that both cases be dismissed with no violation.
For 2281, we have no respondent, but the council to make a statement.
Hi, good morning. I'm Sarah Stark, and I'm just here to monitor.
Just monitor, okay.
Council for Dr. Striley.
Okay. Council, that monitoring and. So just for Dr. Wright's information, Mr. Stoll monitoring for the next case.
Correct.
2282. And Dr. Wright, if you'd like, you can do both of them together or one at a time.
Okay.
Please come forward and again, introduce yourself for the record.
Okay. Timothy Wright. And again, I appreciate the time to be heard. Obviously, this is a the case with Maggie kind of spilled over into multiple episodes. So I know you have my presentation. I know you have all of the records and everything that I sent, so I'm not going to rehash those in detail, but just try to hit the highlights of my concern. Dr. Striley had been my trusted veterinarian for over 20 years and multiple dogs. I did not file this complaint lightly, but the sequence of events caused me to have a legitimate concern. The prime issue of my complaint of Dr. Striley and Dr. Darmaval relates to the reading of the imaging of Maggie done in January 2021. In the prior case with Dr. Mangini, you know, he found a lesion in the third lumbar vertebrae. He stated to me that he believed that this was the cause of the paralysis of her back legs. This paralysis started in January, very shortly after imaging was done by Dr. Striley. Imaging that included Maggie's lumbar spine, and Dr. Striley's report at the time revealed only lumbar spondylosis and LS spondylosis. The time course of symptom onset so soon after the x-rays suggested to me that the lesion may have already been present at that time. The concern that I have, the question that I pose, and the genesis of my complaint is, were those images properly interpreted, or was the finding missed in the lumbar spine images? All of my other concerns and complaints hinge on the answer to that question. If an outside radiologist has reviewed those images and found nothing suspicious, if those of you on this board who are qualified to interpret radiographs have reviewed those images and found nothing of concern, a definitive statement to that effect should be made and my complaint should be rightfully dismissed. But I would appreciate somebody going over those images with me at some time and provided the copy of them as well. I'm not a veterinarian, but x-rays are x-rays and bones are bones, and I made a 30-year living interpreting x-rays. I can recognize an abnormal when I see it. If upon your review of the imaging from January 2021, an abnormality or suspicious finding is seen, then obviously corrective, educational, or punitive measures should be instituted by this board. However, if those images from January 2021 have not been independently reviewed by the qualified members of this board and an independent radiologist, then the investigation of my complaint has not even started. And I would argue that this must be completed before any decision is made or any action is taken, because the issue in the question remains unsettled. Was something missed in the reading of those images? Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Is that the for Dr. Tarmaful as well, or?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so we have Dr. Janes on both of these as well.
I'll take Dr. Striley first. So in me looking at the x-rays that were taken, I did not see anything that would have changed what she had done. I don't see, and I'm going back through now to see if there was, if these were ever sent out. I know they weren't sent out initially, but did anyone see if they were ever sent out after the case was filed? Like as a backup to what she had
done? I didn't see it.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure.
I didn't see an independent report. I saw a report for the ultrasound.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, the care that she provided at that point in time, which, you know, a lot can change between January and June, I didn't see anything that would have made me go, okay, this is an obvious cause of what's going on. And I think she did take action as far as, you know, ensuring that the echo was done and ensuring that they did all the x-rays. And so it wasn't like she was not engaged. And had this dog not have gotten better, which it didn't, like we have multiple visits, you know, that the dog wasn't improving, then they might have wanted to send these out, but these x-rays out. But I don't think it's typical in veterinary medicine I don't think it's part of our standard of care that every x-ray is read by a radiologist. And I think that's a little different than in human medicine, because I think in human medicine it's standard, right? But when you look at veterinary medicine, a lot of veterinarians read x-rays all the time. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. If she feels confident reading the x-rays, and I have no reason to believe she's not, she has every right to read the x-rays. And quite honestly, when you look at the cost of veterinary care and where things are going with veterinary care, it's probably something that we need to consider more of, is to not all these cases are gonna be able to be read by radiologists. We don't even have enough radiologists to read every case. Like, you know, you start getting into some of the logistics, and I just don't see anything here that was wrong. But I would like to hear from the other committee members to see if they saw anything in the x-rays that I would be missing, but.
She's not talking about this committee, man.
Yeah.
Well, when you're faced with multiple problems, comorbidities here, you have to sort through those as the clinician in charge of the case. And sometimes there are things that you emphasize more than others. And I think when these radiographs were being read, there was a multitude of things going on with this dog that she was focusing on. And I think I agree with Dr. Janes that I don't think the lumbar region was dramatic, if there at all, on that date. So I think I'm in agreement.
I mean, you can see a little bit of spondylosis between those, but like, you see that in older dogs. And sure, that's not jumping out at me as like, oh my God, we have to do something. Now, follow up on that maybe could have been, you know, we'll talk about that in the next case, but yeah. So, okay, so then I would make a motion in the case of 22, I guess that would be 50, 81, sorry. that we find no violations of our Practice Act of Rules.
Second.
Motion on the floor and second to dismiss 2281. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? That motion passes. Next up is 2282.
All right, so then in 2282, Dr. D saw this dog roughly 2 weeks after and was concerned about this being more of a neurologic issue. Recommended referral, owner, chose palliative care, which is fine. That's a very decent option. And it looked like that actually might have helped because the next time we saw this pet was in late May. And that was for a completely different reason because that was the acute onset of the forelimb lameness where the fracture was found. So, I mean, the way I look at this, if they had gone on and gotten a neurologic consult, these x-rays would have been included and maybe a neurologist would have seen something different, or maybe they would have sent it out to a radiologist to see, if there was something that they had concern with. But again, that was recommended and not done, but I don't necessarily know that. I'm not blaming either party. I'm just saying that that's where we're at with this case. And so I don't really know that we can hold the veterinarian accountable because it was recommended. And the dog did actually appear, at least from clinical presentation, to improve with palliative care. Okay, so in 2282, before we get into discussion, I'll make a motion that we find no violations of the Practice Act of Rules.
Second.
A motion on the floor and a second to dismiss 2282. Any further discussion? I guess, as usual, I try to take these cases in order, and it was fairly obvious from the numbering of the cases that one of them was a lot earlier, so obviously that's the one I read first. So when I got to the last one, I was a little surprised to see that early on in January, she was talking about in her notes on her differentials, cancer was one of those differentials. It was like the third or fourth or fifth one down on the list, but it was on there. And also mentioned the lameness could be pathological, not orthopedic or injury. I mean, I did see that it was named. It was called, could be a pathological and not an injury. That was just something I noticed and was a little surprised, but on the other hand, it was like, well, then that makes sense on the chronological progression of how things got worse. Any other discussion on 2282? Seeing none, the motion on the floor is to dismiss. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? And that motion passes. Thank you, everyone, for participating today.